The Workday Replay from Money FM 89.3.
Thanks for joining us again on Korea 360 on Money FM 89.3 is where we look at the labor landscape here in Singapore, also your career and lifelong learning. Now, we've been speaking with Wong Yujin over the past couple of months about the five C's to mental toughness. After all, it's such a disruptive environment we live in. How can we be tougher in the mind, so to speak? He's a mental toughness expert. And last few times we've been talking about the first C, which was composure. The second C, which was concentration. So we're going to figure out what we're doing today, which is confidence. Now, confidence, how is that in relation to mental toughness? Yujin, thanks so much for joining us again today.
Thanks, Howie, for having me.
So one would assume confidence is just something someone has. Yes. So how is it in relation to being mentally tough?
All right. So confidence here means self-confidence, which is basically believing in one's ability to produce the necessary skills to achieve any desired results. Confident business people and executives actually expect to be successful, and they believe in their abilities to perform successfully in the corporate world. Basically, the consistency of their thoughts and actions directly affects the consistency of the results. And in turn, it builds more self-confidence. So it's quite simple. And personally, I always say having self-confidence does not necessarily mean you will perform well, but you will not perform well without self-confidence.
Mm. Okay, here's the thing though, Yujin. We're in an Asian society. You know how we've always been brought up to be humble and don't be bragging about yourself. My mom tells me all the time, you know, you don't need to tell people how good you are. People will naturally know if you are. So that's hard for people, I think, in our mindset, in our region, to be thinking about ourselves in those terms. Oh, I can do it. I am great and I am confident, etc. Everyone wants to be confident, though. So how can we go about doing this in relation to also trying to be humble Asians?
The best way to be confident is to have past accomplishments. Anything that's successful in your life, the more success you have, the more past accomplishments that you have, the better it is.
And that way you just build on it, right?
And then you just build on it. And then this past accomplishments is just, is internally for yourself. It's for yourself to feel good. It's not for you to go and tell everyone out there that you are great. But of course, not everybody have this opportunity to have past accomplishments.
Yeah, if you're a newbie, and if we use sports as an analogy, if you've never taken part in competitive sports, but you are up and coming, you might not be able to build that confidence.
Yes, of course. As someone who is fresh at work without that opportunities, how do you build confidence? So I like to take an analogy, since you mentioned sports, of a guy called Johnny Wilkinson. He's widely regarded as the world's best fly half. And this is in rugby. Basically, that quick-thinking, tactically clever, prominent player who's at the back. And he said this, prior to being the best in the world, what he did was he visualized each time he takes a free kick, how his boot connects to the rugby ball. And even the feeling of like the leather against his feet and how it leaves and the trajectory, the exact path of how it moves and passes the exact moment and it passes the post. And right after that, how he feels when it happens. So basically, it's a mental rehearsal of that victorious moment. And this is something that is useful for newbies. Like, for example, someone who goes into the corporate world and they're asked to do a particular project or present a particular report. They've never done it before, but what they could do to feel more confident is to rehearse a successful and confident moment for themselves.
There are lots of unknowns, though, when it comes to... But visualization is not about that. Let's not bring in all the unknowns. It is just about what you want to accomplish, what you hope to accomplish, and consistency of thought earlier was something you said was important as well. That's kind of hard to do, though.
But so,
so if you let thoughts of doubt creep in, you're saying without that consistency, the visualization may not help either.
Well, there are two types of visualization. One would be a perfect scenario, which means that you've done everything superbly. You do that presentation and it was perfect, 100%. And the other type of visualization is where you visualize an imperfect situation, meaning that you actually visualize it and then someone disrupts you.
Should you, though, be visualizing?
It's actually not really just it's meant to prepare your mind for unexpected moments.
Right.
So if, let's say, someone disrupts you, someone stops you in your flow, how do you recover from that? So you imagine that that happens. But the best way to do that is to write down first, what are the possible disruptions? So, for example, if you have, I have one client whose boss is always interrupting, going in 10% within the presentation, before it even comes to the main points, the boss is already interrupting. What do you mean by this? And what do you do that? And it disrupts the entire flow. He prepares a script for it, and then he has to go back to the script. So we visualize that disruption happening.
So in the entrepreneur world, obviously, we know it's normal, I think, for anyone, whether or not in the entrepreneur world or not, to doubt themselves.
Yes.
So, but it's hard to distinguish also whether or not you're doubting yourself or if you're just trying to be prepared for the unknown, as we talked about earlier. Let's say we use that presentation as an example again. So your colleague is making this presentation, interruptions have come, he's dealing with it. But what if mistakes are made as a result? It's hard for some people. I think they just really take it very difficult and it's almost personal to them. Some of them find it hard to recover. What then?
They must be very aware of their internal dialogue.
Okay.
Because the self-talk is usually negative when something happens like that.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm terrible. I made a mistake.
Yes, yes.
And that's not going to help at all. So the first point is the awareness of that self-talk. Because the mind will tell yourself that you've made a mistake. And that perpetuates that mistake. So be aware of the self-talk and try to use languages which are positive rather than negative. The other opportunity is before you do it, you want to think of perhaps some past performances which are similar but not 100% exact to that situation. So
a situation
example,
where you also made a mistake or not? One that went swimmingly?
No, something that went well.
Okay.
So maybe you've never done a presentation in your office, but you've done a presentation in your community or maybe to your family members. And it went very well. And maybe you gave a small speech to your, a thank you speech to a group of people. So, and it went very well. People applauded it. So you want to think about it. And because this is a real world proof that demonstrates your ability.
That you're not totally lousy. Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
By using that confidence there, then you can project your confidence into this particular situation. And also at the same time, accept that occasional poor performance is part and parcel of growth. It happens to everyone. Even the best speakers, the best performers have made blunders on stage. And those are the best opportunities for you to grow and to learn and to become better. Another trick would be just to act confident. And when we talk about acting confident, you will realize that when people have low confidence, their body starts slouching and their eyes start looking onto the ground, that, and their breath becomes very shallow. So when I say act confident, it's actually something physical. I tell an exercise we do in the workshop is to ask a person to slouch and then look down on the ground and say something like, "I'm great." When we record it, and after that, we ask everybody to stand strong and then feel good. We play some strong music and say the same words. The
it
volume,
very,
the
very
intensity
different.
Is all different. And it's just physical.
Yeah.
And I don't tell them to say it louder. I don't tell them to say it stronger. I just change their physical self. So
all right.
Be very wary of your self-talk. And then the other thing is your body language.
In a more structured way, how can, though, one be coached, say as a leader, for example, to be more confident? Obviously, if you are leading people, you need to be more confident. People look to you for guidance. If you are slumped over in that hunch position like you talked about, Eugene, with yourself looking at the ground all the time, hard to instill confidence in other people, right?
Yes. Actually, a leader is a very good example because a leader does not climb to be in that position by accident. He obviously has certain qualities which are great and he has past successes. He's proven himself before. But it's quite normal for them to lose track of all of these. And in light of the big tasks or the KPIs which are very high in front of them.
Or sometimes just the day-to-day.
Yeah. So a very simple exercise that I do with leaders is to get them and just ask them to list down 30 things. 30 items of which they have been successful before.
30?
30. Okay. And it doesn't really matter what items. So
It may not be business related.
It may not be business related.
Okay.
It may be, you know, I have five kids and all five kids are in school, they're doing well. And he may not think of it as that's something very, really great, but a lot of people look up to him on that point. And that's something that actually builds his confidence. Now, while this is not directly related to the particular job, this is what we call a situational confidence. So that situational confidence, he has high confidence in bringing up kids. Or maybe he is high confidence in playing softball. So that's a particular situational confidence. But the general formula is that more situational confidence builds your global confidence. And once you have global confidence, then you can project it to anything, anywhere. So it's good to then feel confident in that particular areas. But most people just play down. Most people don't think it's something special.
So it's also important, I think, when you head off into the corporate world, though, to make some preparations, if you will. Say if you're not a business leader, you're just sort of starting work. You're just out of school and everything, 22 years old. So you might not have successes to ride on to help yourself feel confident. You might not have past experiences where you could kind of pat yourself on the back. What do you think they can do then?
I think for beginners or people who are new into the corporate world, the most important skill is to have strong communication skills, the ability to connect with people, not just connect with them, to build rapport very quickly. So this rapport building skill that is actually very lacking nowadays, because most people are used to digital conversations. They're not used to face-to-face conversations. They're not used to eye contacts. They're not used to asking somebody for lunch and speaking directly to them. So these communication skills are essential. This kind of building of relationships will give you more confidence in being able to work as a team. The other very important point is to groom yourself well. And groom and dress well, I feel.
Uh-oh. Said, how are we wearing the jeans and T-shirt?
But you groom yourself well. You look neat. You look presentable. And it's absolutely okay in a radio situation. When I say dress well, it means dress well for the right occasions.
It doesn't appropriately.
Mean that, yeah, appropriately. Mm. It doesn't mean you come with a fancy bow tie to work and, you know, a three-piece suit when you're just an executive. That's overdressing for that situation. So it must fit exactly to the particular theme. I know a lot of young people who come into a black tie event, for example, and it's black tie, but they come with their usual work suit. They think it's black tie means formal, but it actually means you're supposed to wear a bow tie.
A tuxedo, yes.
While they think it's acceptable, it's not acceptable in the eye of the organizers and those who actually dress up well. And they will look and frown upon this level of thinking. If you dress up well to the occasion, then you are able to mix around with those levels of people. And by doing so, it definitely increases your confidence levels. So, very simple tip, dress according to the occasion and make sure that it's appropriate.
We've been talking today about confidence. It is one of the five C's for mental toughness in today's disruptive world. Wang Yujin is a mental toughness expert. You can always find out more at mentaltoughnessexpert.com. Last time we spoke, it was about composure, and also we spoke about concentration. So we've got two more C's to go, Yujin. But if you want to keep up, you can always go to his website, mentaltoughnessexpert.com. There's something people can download, isn't there, Yujin?
Yes, I've created a free PDF for busy executives so they can get more tips if they like something like this. Quick tips for them to get mentally tough.
It's mentaltoughnessexpert.com, Yujin. Till the next time.
Great speaking to you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.